This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The Trigger! Oh! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Trigger!
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flint wins the goal!
It's
the
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes!
Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Wake!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. I can't hear anybody speaking to me right now because just before I went online, everything that I own in terms of headphones has now died. But we're on the back of a 2-0 win against QPR. We're still 23rd, tick. Still beat the last team, tick. Huddersfield still picked up points, tick. So everything as it was, but we still had a great day out. Now, with me tonight, I've got Simon, Charlie and Ash. Now, as I go to press a load of buttons, Ash, can I hand over to you while you while I try and work out how to hear everybody right now?
Ever the professional, Daniel, aren't you? You could call him anything, can't we? Anyone? Good evening, everyone. Sorry for my host's inability to charge shit. Welcome, Charlie, Simon. How are we both?
Good.
All good. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Good. Good, mate. Yeah. Good. Better than yesterday.
Yes. We had a lovely trip, a podcast out into the capital. To watch the Matty Wednesday take on QPR, like Dan said, we picked up the 3 points. First impression, I've never been to QPR before, so I know Simon, you, Charlie, you weren't with us, but Simon, you were. Was that your first impressions of QPR?
No, Simon? No, I went in the cup on a Friday evening a few years ago. We were up in the Heights. I think we had both tiers because at that time they couldn't sell both tiers. To their own fans. So Wednesday filled it out on a Friday night, obviously. So that was the last time I was there. I don't remember it because it was dark. So
I just wanted to make comment of the actual away end, I weren't even going to call it a concourse, the corridor that was absolutely jam-packed. No way. If you're a Newcastle fan going there, you would have been having kittens. Telling you,
if you had room to have kittens in there,
yeah, there is that. It's it's snug, and I'm not the smallest of guys either. You know, if you've seen me about, then I've had my fair share of pies. So yeah, it was a bit snug. Charlie, obviously, QPR. I know what Stevie said about must-win games. I still don't think he's saying that these are must-win games, but we went into QPR, into Saturday, we'd won 1 in 5 and QPR only lost 1 in 5. So you're looking and they were down there and they're still not out of it. But what was your first thoughts about the game Saturday?
I thought it was giving me Huddersfield flashbacks in terms of that kind of like, I mean, they're all must win games, aren't they? As in we've got to get points. But I think whether or not you'd still even call QPR a relegation rival, they're a lower half team. Therefore, they're the teams we really need to be winning. A, because, you know, we need to be getting one over on teams that are down in the bottom near us. But also B, because like that's where we're most likely to get our points from. Like we knew we had a couple of, you know, big at like your Norwiches and things like that coming up. But then because of that, the pressure was on even more, and it was a bit like, this is either going to make or break us, isn't it? Like it did feel like if we're no longer getting results even against other teams down the bottom, then maybe we are a bit dead and buried. I think Rotherham shockingly not winning already kind of had that uneasy feeling of, oh God, like we really could have done with that kind of thing. So yeah, I was nervous, definitely. It was a big game, big game.
Yeah, I think if we hadn't have won, we'd have been 4 points off, or obviously 2 points if we'd have drawn. But 4 points off with five games left, you are looking at a thing. So for me, it was a must win, and we did. So Simon, what were your thoughts going into QPR? I mean, like I said, I personally thought it was a must win. I know Stevie doesn't say that. I'm sure he'll say it very soon.
We discussed definitions of must win, didn't we, in the pub beforehand, of what a must win is. And his definition...
Don't know, did we?
a vague recollection. Yeah. And we had different definitions of must win, but I'm with you. It was a must win, especially following the results you obviously discussed on Tuesday night, Monday's result against Middlesbrough. To come back and actually put performance in was more than anything. I think even if we'd got a draw or maybe even lost, if we'd seen the team put performance in, then we'd have been seen some fight in it and we'd been happy. I did see it as pulling them back towards relegation. They've had a couple of good results, but they'd had a couple of good results prior to us playing them at home not that long ago. And really, we put them to the sword then and dragged them back into it. So anybody we can sort of beat around us and drag back in, it's just going to make it... It's going to make it last longer till when the fat lady does actually warm up and start singing at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, fat person, I think, is the correct way to say these days, Simon.
Okay, apologies.
Yeah. Us of as large a stature would say that. Welcome to the show, Daniel. Have you got anything to say? How are you feeling leading up to the QPR game? Obviously drunk, but I meant QPR.
Yeah, given my lack of... this is weird. Given my lack of preparation for this evening shows just how well I'm doing on this hangover. You know what I mean? It's been a good 2 days. You know, you get like the proper... You can't sleep. You've only got 3 hours in. You're gasping for air because you're just full of phlegm. You know what I mean? And then you realise that it's probably that one Jager bomb that just took me over the edge. It was just one too many. It had nothing to do with the prior pints. You know what I mean? But I can hear you. I'm hardwired in. How's everybody getting on? You're all right? What are we discussing? What are we talking about?
What are your thoughts were leading up to QPR game? Obviously, with them only losing 1 in 5, us only winning 1 in 5. What were your initial thoughts going into the game?
I was genuinely concerned. Like I said last week on the show or in the Hello from the Other Side, I'd have taken a draw before going to this game. I'd have had a draw. I'd have snapped your hand off. We wouldn't have had to play the game. I'd have gone, it's all right, we've had a draw. Given that they picked up 2 on the bounce before playing, I was a little bit like, well, you know, we're not in great form. We've had a spanking of 6-0. We had a lackluster affair against Middlesbrough and arguably Swansea as well, only picking up a point at home. I didn't see that coming at all. I was genuinely like, oh, God almighty, this is going to be awful. But they were pish. They were really bad. But we came out the traps, like, impressively so. Like, I was really happy with the response that the players gave, especially having players like Windass and Pervader on the pitch at the same time. I didn't see that coming either. But have you got into the lineups yet? I'm sorry, that was really unprofessional of me.
I have got it already. No, mate, I'm holding the fort a little bit here, mate. You know. So lineup. So this is obviously taken from a well-known broadcasting corporation's website. Don't blame us for the lineup. I'm sure Michael Smith would love to play aside Bannon and Palmer in the midfield, but. So they've got it down as Beadle as goalkeeper. Famewo, left back, Inekwe, one centre-back on the left. Diarbe, which we will talk about later, as one centre-back. And Iorfa slotting in at right-back. Smith, Palmer and Bannon in the midfield. Ugbo up top, supported by Pervada and Windass. So, what were our initial thoughts then? What was the line-up? Obviously, a little bit of a change, Charlie, from the Middlesbrough game, because it had to be, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at Pervada back in and Windass, and you start thinking, you know, we've got some strength up there. I think before the game, given how Masaba and Gassama had been, you were a bit like, yeah, maybe that's fair to have dropped them. Obviously, like, you know, foresight and all that, like, but I think it was fair. I think starting Smith was a bit of a stroke of genius. I'm going to be honest. I think he's got some pelters, and perhaps rightly so, for what he's done when he's come on as a sub. But maybe that's been the problem all along. Maybe he's an early game. I don't know. He really did look. I mean, he didn't do anything magnificent, but he was a real thorn in their side for quite a lot of the game, in his midfield position. Where he shines, obviously.
Running it.
And I think, yeah, we had a lot of pace, and I think that looked good. I think perhaps we'd gone slightly less at the back, which was a bit of a concern when you consider how much we got spanked by Ipswich, but we weren't playing a team like Ipswich, so I think it made sense to kind of go strong and try and get those goals, and he made the right changes later on. So, yeah, I think it looked attacking, and I think it was the right kind of, you know, it was the right kind of way to go, given the result we needed.
Right. I'm going to, like any good wrestler, I'm going to tap out. ER Dan, back over to you.
Bletch, are you doing a great job? I was happy being a guest, if I'm honest, mate. I was just looking through some of the comments when you were talking, and my shirt's getting a right load of abuse right now, which...
are you wearing that?
You are
what
getting rinsed.
What's wrong with you?
You are getting rinsed, mate. Anybody who obviously isn't watching this, Dan is wearing a red and white striped shirt.
What the reminiscence, actual hell?
Reminiscence of Bullseye. He does actually look he's about to go up to the Oki and go throw for a speedboat in landlocked London.
In what?
It's yeah,
it doesn't come burnt across orange. That way in camera, mate. Some of the comments, so we've got Paul McCartney has gone Jim from Bullseye vibes. Lolo Duenzi looks like a 1950s bowler.
Brilliant.
Kingpin if for the elder ones. You can't beat a bit of fudgy, according to Jim Bowen at least. So yeah,
Yeah, that's not too shabby. My favourite one there, Ash, is Antoniella when I wasn't on talking because I was trying to find some headphones, and he's just gone with Dan talking a lot of sense tonight, which, you know, so it turns wow. out I can win a load of fans whilst not saying anything, which says a lot about my output. Now, Ash, I'll tell you what, listen, I'm going to chuck it back to you. So tell me, you know, the lineup I thought was batshit mental when I saw it come up. I couldn't work out where anybody was playing. I assume it's, you know, back in the olden days, a champ manager, it was a 4-4-2 attacking, you know, with the advanced wingers, that type of thing. I mean, I was well happy we went for it. What did you think?
I am as well. Definitely. I didn't see Windass starting, to be honest. I really didn't. I didn't see Smith starting. But I'm not the biggest lover of Smith, but I agree with what Charlie said. He put himself about a bit. He had a real good go. You know what? He made a nuisance of himself. But Pervada, it was great to see Pervada back. But obviously, it's probably a game too soon for him, as we've found out midway through the game. I got no issues with the defensive partnerships. I think. Never thought I'd say this, and probably people listening and watching. Diarbe had another great game. He's deserved his starting spot. He really has. And with Bernard out for how long, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's seen anything today or over the weekend about his predicament. But him and Inekwe work well together. I'm a massive fan of Inekwe. I really am. When he came up and we signed him, obviously, from Rotherham, when he came up, there was like, he's not a championship centre half, he's not. But for me, he's a centre half and a half. He puts his head on everything. He's blocked. He is that centre half pairing, and is a cracking pairing. I mean, I don't know if I'd like it with Bernard in a three. I think Diaby at the right of a three might be a bit suspect, but in the centre half partnership that they had on Saturday, I thought he was great. No issues at all, and it's easy to say that when you come away with 2-0 win away from home, isn't it? But hindsight, but I didn't. It was probably Volks and probably Gassama probably felt a bit hard done by being dropped, but Danny Rugg got it right, didn't he? So there we are. Yeah.
He did. He cleared his own work. Now, Simon, I think there was something similar between these two teams, and this is going to sound weird, given our close proximity of where we are in the league and how the season's panned out and all the rest of it. I might be being a little facetious here, but that's not like me. I don't say controversial things. But the way QPR played it out the back, the way QPR got it up to the big lump up front, the way that they set up, it rang very similar for me. I was kind of looking at it thinking, they've set up the same way we normally set up, and we didn't turn up doing what we normally do. And then we've got Liam Palmer running the show, and like Ash says, we've got, you know, eight dimple Lego brick Diaby at the back. Like it was the same, wasn't it? They had a game plan, and we kind of undid them.
Yeah, we didn't play how we have played over the last few matches, and I think that completely upset how they set up. It did help that Diaby had the game of his life. And is it Armstrong, the lad up front? I mean, Diaby's probably now reaching for his back pocket and pulling the lad out because he was immense. And that Armstrong is no slouch. He's only a young kid.
So he's glad you said out, not off.
And, oh, God. Sorry. That's the train journey down. So he's a good player, that Armstrong. And to be honest, I would love him playing for Wednesday because he's a young kid. I think he's 19, 20. But he got no change out of Diaby. Elias Chair, who apparently, as we all found out, is the smallest chair at QPR.
Hey. So
that's the hold. But that is the hold music for QPR if you ring the ticket office up. Because believe it or not, we rang the ticket up a couple of times, didn't we, on Saturday morning?
What did he answer with, Simon?
It was like, hello, this is Elias Chair. Yes, I am the smallest chair at the club. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
From the moon.
That's my Chancery version of Elias Chair.
And no. Can I just clarify that when you were referencing the train journey down, you were talking about the level of banter about being pulled off and not you pulling each other off on the train on
That's
the way down.
It was something along the lines of, can't talk about it, but Ash broke down in tears, basically.
What, from getting from an pulled innocent, off? I can't, let's move on.
It was an innocent comment by one of the other boys, 21-year-old, about his mum. That just came across as very not
what
innocent.
Stop talking. We're going to get sued. We're going to get this. Don't clip this. We're going to get cancelled by tomorrow. Right then.
Well, Ash died. Anyway, moving on.
Ash passed on. Charlie, let's talk about Josh Windass. Get me out of this. Get me out of Slack Alley quick, because I thought he played really well. Played in a more wing role than off the striker. I thought he was. Something we've been missing in that position. With full respect to Masaba and Gassama, because we know what they're capable of, but it's been one in about four. But I feel like Windass offered something there.
Yeah, I mean, and if he ever wants a shift in defence, he's got fantastic clearance. but I mean, skating over that. Yeah, I think he does. I think I like to see him. I liked to see him playing with Poveda, because I think Poveda's a very intelligent player when it comes to, I mean, he's got the pace, but he's also got the crosses. He's got that kind of that accuracy. And we know that Windass has always benefited from that. He's always benefited from that service in the box, as it were. Sorry, back to the train. And I think it was a shame that it was like, this looks great. And then 5 seconds later, it didn't, because Poveda had pulled up. But I think... the only thing I would say about Windass is I think I don't want to call him a stroppy cow. That's a bit harsh. But
he's
I think
exactly that.
He beats himself up. I think he holds himself to very high standards, but it can come across sometimes a little bit like it's borderline dummy out of pram. So I think there was an element when he cleared it off the line, then his leg hurt. It were a bit like, yeah, it's a bit convenient. I don't know. It was, I have never seen somebody. It's the worst miss since Valentin's really big miss against Swansea.
A week ago.
I've literally watched it from about 17 different angles. I cannot see how that can't go in. Any part of his body that it should have hit, because it was already really going in. Yeah. And it's the speed he moved at and the angle he hit it at. If you'd been trying to clear that, you would have missed it. It defies physics. It's unbelievable. I think it's haunting us. I think it'll haunt him as well. I think my leg hurt a bit as well when I watched it.
He's gonna have some sleepless nights over that one. And you're right. I did enjoy the injury pull up, like a lot like Bukayo Saka's been getting online of late. He starts limping when he's dropped his ass. You know what I mean? That type of thing. I mean, Ash, where were you for that miss?
I was at Loftus Road, mate, with 2,000 other Wednesday nights.
All right. I was to the right of the goal and watched it come across. And I, for the life of me, can't understand. But you were a bit more behind the goal, right? You were a bit more central.
I was to the left. I was the opposite side to you.
Oh, so you watched on the purpose. Full obtuse angle of pish.
I was laughing at Ford WRC's Windass was rusty. Now, that's a bit of an understatement, that missing that from there. If you were rusty, you just stood there, hit him, bounced and gone in. So, I mean,
when you think of rusty and Windass there, it's the fact that that miss came straight out of his rusty sheriff's badge. That's the only rusty I've got there. That was just bloody rubbish. Go on, Ash.
It was a bit thing for me because it was like, not it was slow motion because I was watching Pervada, obviously. He's on straight in front of me on our right hand side, and he's doing jinxing. He pulls back inside, puts the whips across in, and I'm like, bit of pace. And I'm like, and I didn't even, then it was like everyone jumped up in front of me, and I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And then it didn't dawn on you until everyone's going, how the did he miss that? And I'm like, what? And I'm like Chris Kamara on that famous red card.
and there's been a miss at Loftus Road, Dash. Who is it?
Yeah, it was. It's one of them where if it had just hit him, it'd have gone in. But I think he tried swinging his left foot or stabbing his left foot at it, and just managed to put it out. And it's a cracking goal line clearance if you're ever needing one. So,
in it. Well, at least we now can do it at the other end.
Well, it's just one of them where we need the win. Are things going to go for us? You know, that little slice of luck, that little slice of then you're thinking, oh my God, it's just going to be one of them days where there's, like I said, 2,000 Wednesday nights just sucking the ball in. You know, it was like,
The innuendo tonight is absolutely killing me. You know, we've got people getting pulled off on trains, we've got rusty sheriff's bags, and now everybody's sucking it in. You know what I mean? And it's all innocent chat. You know what I mean? Love to the family. Sorry to the kids.
And that were only you with the tap photo sucking it in. I think there were a few comments on that you're holding belly in.
Yeah, I did really well. I had a belly full of Strongbow dart throats. So, Simon, listen, we got through the first half. We got to half time. A couple of, you know, no major incident. They really didn't offer anything. Now, I guess what I'm asking is, how did you feel going into halftime? Did you feel like this could go south? The fact that, like Ash says, we didn't get that stroke of luck with Windass in front of goal. And has Pervada gone off by this point now? Or did he?
That's what I was just checking. Yeah, he went on. Yeah, that went off on 29.
Yeah, that was in the first half. He didn't get long. Yeah. And he was looking lively as well. Were you thinking at halftime, oh, here we go again type of thing?
Well, who knows with Wednesday? That's the problem. We're just so unpredictable this season that we can be battering aside all over and then just turn to shit in the second half. You know, this is the thing that we've got, the trouble we have. But I don't think QPR offered anything whatsoever. QPR didn't offer anything. So I was more positive than negative. I thought that if anybody's going to score, it'll be us. But then again, it's Sheffield Wednesday, isn't it? And they do like to piss on your chips.
Well, yeah, well, coming away on Tuesday, my trips were dry. So, but like, I tell you what was interesting, Charlie, right? So they've got Elias Chair, who is their, you know, their key player, regardless of everything else that's gone on outside of the football pitch. He's their key player. And for the first half, I genuinely forgot he was playing because he was running down the other far corner to where I was. I forgot he was playing. Who was playing right back, Ash? Put the thing back on. I can't remember. Was it...
I offer for us.
It was. Yeah. Didn't Dom come on?
No,
he moved over. Sorry, yes. Paul Valentin came on and Iorfa moved across, didn't he? So Iorfa, I thought, had him in his pocket. He just kicked 10 bells out of him and they offered nothing. They were bloody rubbish.
It was one of them where, you know, like... The reason I felt like there was a lot less of Chair is because I was watching it on the stream, they weren't pronouncing it Chair. They were pronouncing it like, I don't know, Shura or whatever. And I remember thinking, that's very weird. I just assumed it was Chair. And I noticed that they said his name like twice because they said it weird, if that makes sense. So I was like, he's obviously not offering much of a threat because I've only gone, who the hell is Chair? Because they said it a couple of times. Yeah, I think I wouldn't have said that there was any standout play from them. I think there were moments where it was a bit, but yeah, I wouldn't have said that you were looking at their threats and been like, oh, Chair this or Chair that. I think we were solid as well. I think every single person, every single player on ours was really solid where they were. So I don't think they found any weak links in where we were. But the longer you go without a goal, the more you're worried. Like, the longer it's one of those where, how many times have we seen where we've been the better team, we've been comfortable with the better team, we're just not getting scored, and then they've got a cheap goal. I mean, our first goal in many ways was almost a little bit of a, you know, goal of the season, isn't it? I mean, who gives a monkeys? But that it's the kind of goal that they easily could have got a bit of a donk, like, just to the back of the net.
So. Honestly, I tell you what, Ash, let's get to the goal. Thank you, Charlie. Let's get to the goal, because we've seen Kasama tear to the byline and cut inside and keep hold of the ball, just one or two touches too many. And it's exciting to watch, don't get me wrong, but it don't really come to much. And you're kind of like, oh, God, it's going to be that again. It was at the other side of the pitch to us, and you're just shouting, go on, go on, like you do. And part of me was like, I can't believe that's gone in. I can't believe we got away with that.
Frustration sometimes with Kasama and Masaba. I think they're very much the same in that respect. They have got the ability to get you up off your seat and do something a little bit special, a bit sparkling. But Masaba more than Kasama. But yeah, he danced into the box. He did.
It was
lovely. Danced into the box. And then it was like, he's took one touch too much. And he toe-ended it to the defender. And the defenders thought, oh, what a muppet. I'll get clear this. He swings his left foot at it. It comes and fair play to Kasama. He chased the ball, so he put his foot
gambled.
In. He gambled, of course. That's it. And fair play to him. He got in there. It ricocheted off him. And like we always say, we'll take one off the arse. We'll take one off the chest, off the head, anything. It went in. So
I'm going to burst. I'm going to burst. Now you're doing it on purpose now, aren't you?
But he was, and he created the goal, and he got the fortuity to look it for the goal as well. So fair play to him for that. We've said for weeks and weeks, we haven't been getting the rub of the green, and sorry, that was awful. We did on Saturday. Go on, I'll let someone else
go on. Now, no, Simon.
No, we did, didn't we? So
go on. Simon, they went at us, right? So we've gone 1-0 up and they thought they'll come at us. There was a few hairy moments, but there's nothing a lot to be concerned about. Now, Holly specifically has been saying that Masaba and Kasama don't play well on the pitch together. She said it last week. We all agreed. And then we went tearing through in the 90-odd minute. Now, just as Kasama got the ball to pass for this second goal, I shouted quite a loud expletive because I was just on my blower checking how Huddersfield were getting on, and they just banged the ball in, or the notification came through that they'd slotted to win. just as Masaba had just received the ball. And I'm screaming a big C-bomb across the across Loftus Road away end, just as we've scored. I mean, but I tell you what, look, just run us through the goal a little bit. Let's get through the little goal. I mean, did you feel like we were going to concede at any point beforehand?
I thought it was back to the wall for the last 10 minutes. I did think it was back to the wall. I thought that there was a few times that we left people. I've watched the highlights yesterday. Our defensive frailties came into part at some points. But we brought Pato on, and that added a bit of feistiness up front. You know, he was willing to knock around their midfield and defenders and just cause a few little irritate them up there. The
it
guy
was nice to see Pato back, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I love Pato. He's brilliant. Anderson hit the underside. I think he's great. No, I love him. No, he is. He has a role. Pato has a role, right? He has a role. And we saw that. We've not seen a lot of him because I think he's been out since, was it Coventry game? Somewhere around. I mean, Christ, that could be many Coventry games. I mean, it could have been last week. When did we last play Coventry? Yesterday? I don't know. But it's been since January time, hasn't it? So he's been out for what seems like an age now. Last season, he really sort of stamped his authority towards the end, and certainly in the playoff semi-final at Hillsborough. And he's that sort of player that I like in the side because he's a good old-fashioned shithouse. It's nothing more to say about it. He's a great, good old-fashioned shithouse. He's your Ross Wallace. He's your Stockdale. He's the sort of player that winds other players up and then just walks away with this wonderful smile on his face. You know, can you imagine him just like walking away going, because he's so seized. So that was great seeing him come on. And I think we'll need him in the next few games running into the end of the season. But they were on top. I think they hit the post. They hit the bar, which was the only real shot they had. But we all looked a little bit nervy. And it was that, are we going to concede? And I could feel the crowd getting nervy. And was it, I think it was 90 plus six that we scored in, wasn't it? So yeah. I don't know what they gave because I'd not taken my glasses with me because I knew it was going to be a messy day and I thought that's only going to end up with five separate pieces of my glasses by the end of the day. And the scoreboard was like something out of the 19. It looked like Texas Instruments written across the top or something like that.
The weirdest thing about the scoreboard was it was the same LED display as our old scoreboard, but it was white. So, and when the sun was blaring on it, it was a nice day, wasn't it? I couldn't see a damn thing. I didn't see the admin until half an hour gone in. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So I had no idea how much time, Simon,
if you can't remember, there was a lot of time we were sat near the away fans and you kept shouting, "How's your mum?" A lot of QPR fans.
It was one particular one who kept tapping his watch. So we scored and he kept tapping his watch, this kid. He was just like forever tapping his watch. So we broke. Gassama down the wing. I think Pato received it, fed Gassama, and Masaba was one-on-one. Great goal, great finish. The two players that we all said at the start when we're signing up, can't play in the same team. That went well. And this kid, I just tapped and watched this kid and he just went, fair enough, and walked out.
I'll tell you what impressed me with Masaba at that 96th minute. Like, Gassama received the ball and there was Masaba and one of their centre midfielders just in the centre midfield. He bust a gut to get. This other guy was just trotting. He was like, I can't bother. He did actually bust a gut to get there and it was a great ball across. Perfectly weighted. And he hit it and it's like, oh, he's blazed it over. Oh, has he missed that? Yeah. It was that close. It was pinpoint accuracy to the roof of the net from, 8 yards out or something daft like that. But it was good. It showed real good commitment, and sometimes he has been said to be lazy, just lacking a bit of.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
To get there or to track back or anything, but he did. And it fair play to him in 96 minute. I know he came on 70 odd or whatever minute it was, so he was fresh-ish, but it was good to see to get the second goal. And I know the goal difference is negligible these days, isn't it? So, but it's a 2-0 away win.
Yeah, negligible for us on the fact that it's going to be a fart to a shit fight by the end of the season. Yeah, I get that. What's the now, Charles Bellow? I will come to you after this about the statistical nature of the side, because Ash has got a lovely, he's got a graphic for you. Ash, what are they saying on the interwebs on what we were just talking about? What they're saying?
Is that Sync or CYNC? How are we going with that?
It's got to be Sync, unless Sync, he lives in York, New City.
Right, yeah. He loves the late goal against QPR, doesn't he? Masaba, obviously, against the home leg that he scored again. There we are.
Is there any more shirt-based abuse I'm getting?
No, mate, no. No, at least scoreboard works. We're still one up against Swansea. That was
genuinely really odd, that Swansea game. Yeah. We were 1-0 up, and then it just turned off. And then when it came back, it was 0-0, and there was no seconds gone. And then someone's gone, hey, oh, bloody scoreboard's not working. So they've put our goal on, but still not set the timer going. You know what I mean? And this is the same scoreboard that the ref was looking at to get a decision against us earlier on in the season. He's pissed. Gasman was great second half from 40 there. He was the Gasman. I tell you what, there is a player in there, and I hope Rule can get the best out of him, because I feel like he's got something, that kid. Masaba... we had it with Paul Valentin in and out. You know, some of the form has been sketchy, but I feel like Gasman's form is on the way up. You know, you'd even argue that Ugbo's form's a little bit sketchy. He was grafting hard. He was grafting on Saturday. Didn't really get much, but, you know, put himself about a bit. And I hope he gets back on the score sheet soon. Windass, I thought, was great. But I've got to give props to Liam Palmer in the middle of the park. Absolutely ran his blood to water and did a lot of work for Bannon, who was playing like a man possessed. And we've all spoke a lot about his wafty slide tackles that he does. And
that one where he came and slide tackled in front of him in the first half. That was Armstrong, wasn't he? It got away from Diaby that time. And there was just literally Bannon coming in.
Yeah.
And he timed it perfectly.
Beauty of a challenge. What I'm going to ask, and I tell you what, I'll ask this, Chaz. The manager was really quite vocal in digging out the players after the piss poor performance against Middlesbrough. Kind of worked, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And thing is, you want that though, don't you? Because a manager first and foremost needs to support his players, needs to be there for his players. He's also got a job to do, and he's got to get a tune out of him. And it was very plain to anyone with eyes that things weren't there, Middlesbrough. And it wasn't just we got outclassed, we got outplayed. It was the, you know, like jogging back to your position and all that kind of stuff. And it was, they all looked so done and lazy and fed up. If you don't address that, you've already given up. And it did work. And I had mad respect for him as well, even in the press. Like, it was very much that kind of, he was like, that was not good enough. And he knows that we know that as well. So he's not trying to bullshit us. And I thought it was great. I thought that it spoke volumes about what his plan is, and that he didn't see what his plan was. He didn't see his vision against Middlesbrough. And I think it gives me a lot of confidence knowing that he can motivate them. I mean, even like we talked about, like there's a player in Gossama, and I think there's passion in him as well. I mean, he celebrated his goal, which, let's be honest, was a bit of a, you know, a little bounce off. Like he just scored a screamer. Like, his reaction to scoring that goal for Wednesday was huge, and I think that speaks for a lot. And perhaps if we'd not been seeing what we wanted to see from him in the last few weeks, I think, you know, Danny Rule's obviously motivated something in there as well. He's got the skill. We know he's got the skill, but I think it's more about that. It's more about the mentality. And I think that's so much more what we saw. And that is all really anyone asked. Like, yeah, obviously we want another 3 points, but we wanted to see that they actually gave a monkeys, because they did not give a monkeys on Bank Holiday Monday. It was not a day of monkeys.
It was
monkeyless Monday.
Monkeyless Monday.
Yeah. The interviews that they did on Thursday were the telling ones, I thought, because obviously you get that passion directly after the game on the Monday night, and you could see, obviously, it hurt Danny. It really hurt him alongside us. You know, it was a long journey home, and we were hurting. But on Thursday, you could still tell that it had hurt him, that result, that the players hadn't turned up for him. He seems to be thoroughly invested in the club, and he sees a vision of where he, not just us getting over the line the end of this month, start of next month, but also I think he sees a vision for next season. And looking at some of the press today, I think he feels he will actually be here next season, which a lot of us are like, you know, could that happen? We don't know. Even if
if Alan Nixon keeps trying to gas up this Sunderland connection on the interwebs, it's absolutely slaughtering me. Shut up, pal. There's only you saying it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
There is. And if you actually
rumours from you,
Sunderland. Sunderland fans don't want him. They don't want him. They see him as a cheap option. They don't want him for some reason. Good. Happy days. But he still, because obviously the press, and I don't know where we're going to talk about it in a bit, but the press kept pulling at that thread about contracts, didn't they, on Thursday with Bannon. And they asked the same question to Danny Rule, and he talked about it a little bit and then just basically dismissed it and went, doesn't matter. We have a job to do. And they have a job to do to the end of the season, and they have to do it.
That was an interesting one, that, because about 3 weeks ago, the captain was interviewed and he said, look, that's just the way it happens around here. We get to the end of the season, then the contract conversation comes around and we're all like, yeah, all right, no worries. Then we literally give a limp performance against Middlesbrough. And then the conversation comes around about contracts again. Why are we talking about bloody contracts? I've no idea. I feel like we've got pressing matters. And then the contract conversation comes up again, and then we're like, well, it's unsustainable as a club. We can't do that. Like, yeah, come on now. You know, just because you've got been telled off, just because you got done, you then can't start blaming it. Well, it's obviously contract's fault. You know what I mean? That's why we were so shit against Middlesbrough. Contracts. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Who are you trying to bloody kid? Now, earlier on, Holly put a comment on the interweb saying that everyone give a one-word review of Fudge's shirt. Ash, there's been a few coming through. Have you got them ready for me? Pigs, we've got that one. That's nice. We've got blades. Oh, yeah, wow. Brilliant. Dem blades. It's burnt orange. Bacon rashes is lovely. Thanks very much for that. And Holly's gone with Doggy Crapper Bobber. So so you know, I will have to burn this shirt after this evening. So coming up at Hillsborough on Tuesday night, we've got our 5,000th league game, and it's, you know, by as luck would have it, it's happening. It's happening at home, which over our 150-odd years, I think it works out to something like 32.2 games per season, which, you know, don't bode well for a cup run, but I'm guessing we did play that many in 1867/8 season. So there's a lot going on, and I'll tell you what I'm going to ask the interwebs. I'm going to put this out to the comments. Out of those 5,000 games, I want you to list a couple for me that really stick out for you, for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Could it be a mega win? Could it be a mega loss? Could it be... There's one game that sticks out to me, and every time I see a meme sort of say, what's the most memorable game or what's the most boring game you've ever been to? One for me was, it was a Boxing Day game against Arsenal, and we drew 0-0 in the Premier League. And I have never in my life been so cold in my life. And for some reason, that is tattooed on my brain. Ash is going to say Forest Green, I assume.
Yeah, Forest Green, mate, definitely, for the totally totally different reason to the Peterborough game at home. I'm sure that's going to be everybody's does that count as a league? Hey, does that count as a league game?
What's that?
The Peterborough semi-final playoff. Done, does it? Oh
no!
So that might be one for the future. Watching out for, won't it?
It's the 5,000th league game at home.
No, 5,000th league game.
Full stop.
Full stop. On the Chef Wednesday website, it says 5,000 league.
5,000
game
at home.
Jesus Christ! I know you're old.
55 years. That is 65 games a season.
I was just reading the tweet here. That was all.
So,
what about you, Simon? What sticks out to you, bro? I'll come back.
Goodness
to
me. There are quite a lot. I mean, Peterborough obviously stands clear in the memory of last season, but
not a league game.
Kaiserslautern. I mean, there's a few Kaiserslautern at home, but that wasn't a league game.
Pick a league game, Simon. What about we pick a
David
league
Hurst, like David Hurst. Kaiserslautern.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, there's so many, Dan. Two for me. Two.
Go on.
First one would be 1990-91 Hull 5-1. David Hurst scoring his hat trick, taking the ball from halfway line and just basically beating every Hull defender and then banging the back of the net. And the other one will be Paolo Di Canio pushing Paul Alcock over. I was beating Arsenal, and it was just mental because him pushing, effectively assaulting the referee and going down to 10 men, playing Arsenal, we weren't in the greatest of spaces at the time. Shape. And we just basically, the stadium were like, what the flipping heck just happened? Mm-hmm. It was the most bizarrest match ever. And then we beat them. Lee Briscoe, I believe.
Yeah, it gets forgotten about. And we spoke about Lee Briscoe on Saturday, actually, Chaz, in the booze. We were saying that Lee Briscoe could defend but couldn't cross, and he's like the opposite to Marvin Johnson. So, you know, there's a little story for you there. And then we started speaking about this goal. What about Ash? Sorry, mate, I cut you off. What about your games then? Like, tell me about yours.
So when Forest, I am going to say Forest Green for the wrong reason. I like going to different stadiums, and when that came out, and it's like me and Raj went, right, we'll get the list down where we want to go, and got all right, definitely Forest Green, gonna tick that one off. So I was so excited for it, and fuck me, I wish I didn't even bother.
Ash, what are you pissed off more about? Was it the game or having to walk up the hill? I remember the hill getting a good old airing on this show this time last year.
Yeah, it's the hill. I'm glad there was a one of those defibrillators on the way up, I tell you. It was a big old hill, windy at the top, selling vegan beer and vegan sausage rolls.
Yeah,
and stuff
I love the idea you've done all that work and you can't even get a proper pie at the top of the hill.
then you go for a pee and there's a little porta cabin where it collects all your piss and then waters the grass with it. So that's nice, isn't it? Oh, they've got it fully down there. The whole on Sky getting abuse from the Sky people because everyone was swearing in front of the cameras, microphones, because it is the tiniest stadium known to man. And obviously the performance and the loss and just the whole day was shite. So
it's weird it's weird how shit days can stay in your mind, isn't it? It's not like, you know, the 4-0 smashing of Norwich or that Nottingham Forest game where we were 3-0 up by half time.
Oh, Jordan Rhodes, yeah.
Who'd gone missing for 2 years, all of a sudden turned up and scored a first half hat trick. Go on then, Chaz. You're going to make us feel like really old men now, aren't you?
No. Well, yeah. New Year in the Snow is always one for me.
Yeah.
It was like Leeds. It was just the images from that game. It's something about it being snowy. It's like a nativity scene or something. Like, I don't know what it is about it. It just adds like an extra mystery. You know, like when in films where like they're having a dream or a flashback and it's all like, nee, 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 nee. Like that's what the snow is. It's like an extra special layer.
I was going to say the imagery that you were talking about from that goal, you've got that god-awful IKEA kit that we wore, that Christ knows who signed that off. The fact that New Year's was far too short for him because it was that shit a kit. He had to wear that white T-shirt to get an extra 6 inch because he was too... And the longest knee slide imprint in the snow. That
it was amazing. Just the track.
And there's no way, like, there's no way on God's green earth that we should have absolutely won that game either, because we were piss poor at the time. And just scoring against... It was bizarre. Absolutely epic. Everything was beautiful. What else were you going to say?
I was going to say, this is like really quite obscure, and I feel like, I can't remember if this is just before the pandemic or just after. Do you remember the drone? Do you remember when there was that random game where there was a drone over Hillsborough and they kept having to like pause the game? Does anyone else remember this?
I do remember
like
that.
Real fever dream. It was like the most, and like, I don't think anyone ever saw any pictures from this drone. There was like no footage from it. It was like, there was a drone. And then there wasn't. Like, it was just bizarre. Like, I can't even tell you that, if it might have been against Robin, it could have been against anyone.
It was really
sticking in my head. Just like, who's doing that? It was bizarre.
Amazing. Amazing. New Year. Right then, Ash. Go on then. So what the general public saying here? Because there's been some absolute corkers suggested there, aren't there? There's been some beautiful one. It was Rotherham away, the drone. So you didn't imagine it. The X-Files drone. Brighton away, Easter Monday at the Wydeen Dean in 2006. Won 2-0 to stay up. God, I remember that one. They had like a makeshift stadium at the Wydeen Dean. Right, this one here, Ash. Now, there was a chap that used to go to a boozer that we used to sup at, that our mate Dave used to work at. A chap called Paul Avis. It was his birthday on that day. And we said, come on, Avo, we'll go up Newcastle. We'll get out on the tone after. We're 5-0 down at half-time. We're back in the boozer by about 6:30. Lost 8-0. Alan Shearer got 5. What else we got, Ash? I'll never forget Holly's rant after Barnsley away last season. That's even worse than Forest Green. That's the infamous shit, you're all shit comment, isn't it?
It's funny that, because that is my ringtone.
We used to have that ready to go, didn't we, on the on this website. We had to delete it because we're getting complaints from Ofcom. What else have we got, Smash?
Arsenal 7-1 loss. Jay Bloggs. Arsenal all the way, 7-1 loss. Got up in the morning and said, shall we go? Drove down, paid on the gate, got hammered.
Yeah,
got hammered.
Remember that. Was that after we just signed the French right back of the year from
Patrick Blondeau?
Patrick Blondeau, and he was like French player of the year, and he just shit the bed, and we never saw him again after that game. I'm sure it was.
That's around the same time we signed the Macedonian Tony Adams in Gotchi Sedlowski, who John Newsom referred to as having one leg bigger than the other and kept running around in circles. Sniper's nightmare. Yeah, but you know, his walk was a sniper's nightmare, but the size of his head was a sniper's dream. So I didn't know what were happening. You know what I mean? He could have been all over the place. Go on, Ash.
I've just got something to say, Dan, about this 5,000th game. I saw I've been sent something, shall I say? I didn't saw it, so I've seen it about the 5,000th game. So for me, I didn't know because I don't count. I'm sure Pete Lohman knew that it was 5,000 game. You know, with all his stats and everything. I didn't know it was a 5,000 game. I'm sure nobody else did until today when the club put something out. Mm-hmm. So, and they're saying there's loads of things going to be happening. There's going to be special guests or anything like that. And I saw something earlier, and it was, why have the club left it till today to tell everybody?
Let's talk about it.
It is a bit of a shock. I mean, obviously I've been to every single one of them, and I didn't know it was, you know.
So we have a go at the club, and the club do a lot of good things, and obviously they do a lot of bad things. And they've dropped this on probably 99.9% of the supporters, that tomorrow night's going to be a big event, there's going to be this, that, and so people could have made the effort and bought extra tickets and thought, oh, there's something going on at Hillsborough, they might be rolling David Hurst out or Chris Waddle, you know. Or something like, I don't know what it is, but whatever.
Boring, man.
It'll just, why not give it a couple of weeks?
Do you think they thought it were like in a couple of games and somebody's got abacus in back and gone, oh my God. Oh my God. I've been counting cup games. Hang on. Charlie, and they've gone, oh my God, it's tomorrow.
What makes you think that Chancery has signed off on an abacus? Come on, man. Bloody hell. We know he's tighter than the duck's ass.
It's just the people that, sorry, Dan, there's been people for the last couple of weeks saying on Twitter because that's where I spend most of my life, to say that why don't they do something about the last three home games? Buy three tickets for 50 quid, buy 20 quid a ticket, do X, Y, Z, whatever to bring, because we all know as fans, we've been to Hillsborough when it's 30-odd thousand absolutely rocking. Mm-hmm. It's different, and it's different for the players. It'll certainly be different for the opposition that there is 30,000, that they've done something to say, come in, get in, and then drop this on the Monday, like 36 hours before the game, that there's something going on, there's something special, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. It should have been a couple of weeks ago that they've said something.
You might, they could. I don't know what they've got planned, but they could be bringing players back from certain eras. You know, Sterling, Nilsson, bringing players over, et cetera, et cetera. It gets people in the stadium buying drink, buying pies, this, that, and the other, doesn't it, before, as well as buying tickets. Yeah. So, yeah, it was quite out of the blue today, really out of the blue.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't have it set as a reminder on my blower, you know what I mean? But I tell you what, just to come back to the question I was asking you guys, what we're going to do now, we're going to go into predictions for Norwich. So if you want to get those in the comments, do it now. But we had some pearlers here, Ash, didn't we? We had Twin telling the Barnsley fans to F off. Absolute beauty of a clip.
I'd forgotten about that. Absolute
treat of a clip, that. And you've got Waddle putting gigs on his ass. You've got that one. And this one, I remember, this was the first game of the season, just after Southgate missed his penalty after Euro 96, and Richie Humphries scored an absolute rip snorter at the Kop end. And in terms of commemorating the 5,000th game, Holly's gone where they hope there's a cake ball. So, you know, that's always fun. But yeah, there's a few great suggestions there. But upcoming is Norwich City. Did a really good hello from the other side with a local journalist from Norwich, and they're having a weird season. They're either really good, or they seem to be beating everybody in mid-table. Everybody's up and around them, but the teams that they're losing to are crap. And I'm hoping that we're going to be one of them, right? You know what I mean? So come on, up the Wendy. So like, there's a really odd thing here that they've shot their beads early. I'm sorry, that is just pure innuendo. They've shot their beads early trying to get over the line with their, because they've had a 15-year record to protect in terms of getting one over on Ipswich. And 15 years is a long time. And I feel like they've put their eggs in their basket with that, and I'm hoping that we can get a result. Ash, what do you feel is going to go down?
Right. So it's an hard one. With a point, I'm going to take a point. It's an hard game. They're in some good form, obviously beating Ipswich. I'll put a comment in it, and I was going to say this, but Sinks beat me to it. TW football guys, Tom, did really good thing. Him and his mate.
This is a really good account, by the way. This is blowing me away from the stuff that they're putting out.
It's one for the nerds. It's one for the nerds, isn't it? It's what it is. Yeah. And he talks about shit that goes right over my head. What the fuck are Nets? Only Nets I know are them at either end of pitch. And he's good on about, he did a thing the other day about it. I think Norwich have lost 10. Drawn 5 and 1-5 away, so they're not very good. But they've done a thing about fatigue. So when you play a games within 3 or 4 days, and especially a long away trip, they've done all this geeky, nerdy shit with all the numbers and stuff. And got
they've put it in the number cruncher.
Yeah, got percentage of actually Norwich. I think they've only won one out of their away games when they've played two quite close together, and especially in a away game. So they are. TW football, we've always retweet some of their stuff anyway and things, so people will see it. But yeah, the two guys there, they've done some really good stuff.
So are you saying that Wendy's winning then, just based on these statistics?
Yeah. So Sinks put shout out to TPeters32 on Twitter, who's helped TW football on that. So yeah. But for me... I know Danny Roll will not look at this the way I do because he's clever and I'm not. We have a massive game on Saturday and an probably even bigger game on the Saturday after. So we have two games coming up, one home, one away. that is going to probably define where we are in the league tables. So I'm going to go for I'm looking for a draw. I think we've got to play for a draw. I know we're at home and there's going to be quite a few people there. But I think it's going to be hard. I'm hoping all the stats and saying I'm going to prove me wrong because you know how I like stats. So,
Well, this is it, isn't it? Right. So, you know, like Holly's just said there, she said, don't forget that Fudge and Stevie said they'd take a point against QPR. So, therefore, they're not allowed to celebrate the victory. That's correct. Ash has gone for a rather conservative draw. But also Mad Ward has also gone with 5-0 Wendy's, Bosch up the shagging Wendy's. So, you know what I mean? There's a lot of contrasting opinions here. Now, personally, I feel that Norwich are there for the taking, given the way that their weekend went and who they were playing and whatever. Simon, what do you think? How do you think it's going to go? Because bear in mind, Ash brings up a great point there about resting players and fixtures that are coming up and stuff like that. But personally, we've got a home game, and I think they're really important given how poor our away record is, and we should absolutely go at and Bosch up shagging Wendy's 5-0.
Yeah, I think Steve brought it up a few matches ago, isn't it, where we dropped Folksy and brought Palmer in, and Steve mentioned that he's a numbers man, he's Danny, and he'll be focusing on the more winnable games, if any game at this end of the season is more winnable. I was one of the few that went down to Norwich, the away fixture Tuesday night. What a great trip that was. And they were on a bit of a downward spiral then. And I can't remember what the away fixture was. Did we lose 2-0? Something along those lines.
We definitely got beat, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a whimper as well. And I have a bit of a soft spot for Norwich, the city, probably not so much the football club. Norwich are a team that come up here and it could go either way. The statistics, and they were great reading, and it is quite positive reading that they had this fatigue and this, that, and the other. But they've just beat their local rivals. You know, and it's Wednesday. And I just can't. Look, I'll be happy with a draw. I think it'll be a draw, or they'll beat us 1-0.
There's some very conservative guesses here, Charlie, and I'm hoping that you're going to come and surprise me because it's very conservative. You know, we beat QPR and it's kind of like, you know, don't expect anything and you won't be disappointed type of vibes over there from the lads. What about yourself? What do you think about the pedestrianisation of Norwich City Centre?
I mean, I'm as delusional as the next person when it comes to just blind optimism. My only thing is, I don't think we've ground out results against top table teams since Christmas. I think our big losses, especially of late, have come from those top teams, and I think they have got something to play for massively. Mm-hmm. And I think they will see us as a must win. I think they will see us as an opportunity to really secure their spot. But at the same time, yeah, you know it. I don't know. I'd take a draw now. I would. I know it's a cliche. I'd take a draw now every day and twice on Sunday. The only result I can see is either a draw or them winning. And I wish, I'd love there to be a twist. If we beat them tomorrow, we're unstoppable. If we beat them tomorrow, everyone's dicks are going to be sky high, man. Like, everyone's going to be so off the face that I think everyone else might as well just go home. A draw tomorrow would make us feel great going into Saturday. I just hope that if it doesn't go our way, it's not an absolute battering. I don't think it will be, but yeah, I'll take a point.
They're four points safe above Coventry in the playoffs.
So yeah, but Coventry have got a game in hand, haven't they? I know it's four
they
points.
Have, yeah, they have. They well, have. Really.
But then I know, you look Matt, at, Mad Ward, you're he's my mate.
Sorry, Dan, I was going to say something. Sorry,
go on, Ash. Go on. I'm just agreeing with the comment.
You were saying about Coventry. Our old mate Glenn has been on. You remember Glenn?
He's been on.
He's been on.
Long time. Good luck.
Yeah. Long time supporter as well. Look at it. Good luck, V Norwich. I like Sheffield Wednesday win ideally. Do cover favour.
Another favour.
How many points have you had offers?
Yeah.
How many exactly. points? Next round at Cup.
We're out of favours. Oh, we're out of favours. Yeah. For you lot.
Yeah, in it. That was go on. What
Matthew
we got
there? Been on. I'd take a draw and no injuries. So yeah, he's
Yeah, it's just me and Wardy. It's just me and Matt Ward. It's just me and Matt Ward who think it's going to be 5-0 up the Shaggy Wednesday. A la Bosch. That's what's happening. I'm telling you, it's coming. I tell you what, Wardy, I'm reserving this. If we score 3+ goals tomorrow night, then you know we're reserving the right to take our trousers off in every Wetherspoons across the country because that's the rules. In the meantime, does anybody have any other business before I wrap this up?
I have one little bit. Can we just have a look at the league table?
That R is brilliant.
Is that a man sat down on a chair?
You can see, well, obviously, with Rotherham unfortunately being relegated, as you can see by the grandstand-esque R that used to thing. But yeah, there we are. That's the table. That's it. That's all I wanted to show.
You just wanted to put that little R that. In. Yeah. It looks like me wearing a belt, that R that you've got there. I enjoy it. In my bro days. Listen, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Thanks a lot for the comments. You know, so we've got Norwich tomorrow. Just cut out on me. So if you still hear me, that's great, because I think my internet's just about to die. Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm going to stick the credits on now. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn wins the goal! It's the goal! It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there? Yes! Oh, my God!
The Wednesday win!
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.